What a song to segue into Lynn Slonica with. Freddie's dead. Now, you know, every week I get worse and worse. My segues into the Lynn Slonica education segment are getting worse every week. Every time when I archive it and I listen to the segue, I go, oh, I shouldn't say that.
You know, I was going to mention I like that James Brown song that you played.
The Big Payback.
Yeah, the advice series that you did. That was
Yeah.
That was good.
Songs about advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I got a couple of phone calls too. Our listeners are crazy.
Well, you know, and what was so great about that is because you don't really think about those songs as being advice songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's amazing how many songs are about
advice. Yeah. And then when you realize, you go, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I never thought of that, you know.
Yeah, all those imperatives in music. Yeah.
You know, a lot about do this, don't do that. So what's going on in the edumacation scene?
Well, it's picking up, you know, it's that time of the year. I probably should just mention that. Well, we were just talking about it before we got started about Chatham and the powder scare at the library, and about the fact that they had to evacuate the middle school because it's directly connected to the library, and that whole thing and how that's played out. And you were talking about. The explanation for why the powder was there, some sort of a...
The explanation didn't quite make any sense to me. And I was trying to figure out why somebody would get the idea of doing that in the first place.
Right.
Even if they didn't mean it. So it just didn't...
Yes.
But according to the last story I read, I believe they were still turning it over to the Columbia County DA.
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah, that was kind of... That's pretty freaky.
School had to be let out early.
Oh, yeah.
And
all of that time and effort for emergency people to come in. And
absolutely.
Not to mention the anxiety and fear that it brings to the community, especially, you know, parents. You get a call like that.
Your
heart stops. But speaking of parents and heart stopping, there's a pretty good story in today's Reg by John Mason about the food fight out there in Taconic Hills. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. I told you, you listened to the wrong news this morning. I did that story and loved every minute of it.
Well, yeah. And but, you know, this is for any parent who's had a kid participate in sports, you know, mm-hmm. that this is something that is part of the ritual after they finish their event, whether it be football, cross country, baseball, whatever it might be. They get on the bus and they stop at a fast food restaurant.
And it's been that way forever.
Yes.
I read the story and it reminded me of 1960s playing high school ball and being in the drum and bugle corps. When you were on your way back, you stopped someplace. Of course, they didn't have as many McDonald's, but you stopped someplace.
Well, I would be willing to bet that the food you were eating in the 60s was probably a little bit less cardboard-like. But the thing that's interesting about this story and this whole situation is that it points out the weaknesses in the school lunch program. And we've talked about this before, that when kids get up to high school, whether they're participating in sports or not, school lunches are not filling at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a lot of emphasis right now on the new nutritional guidelines from the USDA. Michelle Obama sort of has spearheaded the campaign to eat healthy, and that has, of course, first gone to public schools and in the school lunch program. And so they're taking the heat on this. It's very political in that regard. But in truth, school lunches have been an issue for older students, especially, for a long time. And but parents showed up at this meeting in Taconic Hills last night.
Yeah.
They have their brand new superintendent. This is baptism by fire for this guy, although he is the one who made the decision. He
right.
made the declaration that they would not stop. And I guess the big thing is that he didn't consult coaches beforehand.
Yeah, well, apparently there were other parents who were calling, complaining about the stops.
Right.
And because they said that when the children, by the time the kids stop to eat their lunch, to eat the meal on the way back, there's an hour and a half passes.
Well,
they get home, they don't want to do the homework.
Well, that is true. I know that from cross country.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't get home until 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they would be tired from running
right.
anyway. They have a full stomach of food. So what do? They sack out. And you're lucky if you can get them up to go to school on time the next morning.
Right.
So it is, I mean, I understand that concern. I guess right now the plan is, in lieu of stopping for fast food, that the school cafeteria will prepare bag lunches that will be on the bus. But I'm wondering who pays for those.
Yeah, that's interesting, yes.
Yeah, whether the individual kids pay for them, because I know in a lot of cases, you know, the coaches would pay for the kids' food when they stopped. Kids certainly could bring their own, but the kids who couldn't afford it, the coaches often paid the bill.
When I went to tape on the news story, of course, the meeting, well, it was 4 o'clock this morning, so the meeting mm-hmm. had taken place that night, so
right.
I didn't hear anything about it, but I did, as a part of that story, they were talking about the fact that the food service people suggested making subs
right.
and sun chips. Yeah,
and
sun chips and a drink.
Yeah.
But you're right then. Yeah, I didn't even think about that part. Who's paying for it?
Yeah, exactly. And if they are, I don't know how that figures into the school lunch program too.
Mm.
So all those things. But so I guess when it was all said and done, Mr. Howard is going to meet with the coaches and try to work something out.
Oh, and I did learn how to, and I apologize to the listening audience, because what I did learn today is that it is Craryville.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said Craryville.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's another place in New York called Craryville.
Yeah. Anyway, there he goes again, pronouncing the name.
Well, at least you don't say Valety.
Yeah, it's. Do you know when I spell the name of my town to people?
Uh-huh.
I live in Chatham Center, but I have a Valatia address.
Right.
And when I spell the word, I say Valatia, V-A-L-A-T-I-E. They go, oh, Valety.
Right. Exactly. Another story this week, actually it was late last week, there was a press conference down in New York with a group of education activists, and including Norman Siegel, who is a civil rights lawyer.
Yeah.
They are, and this is all about, we've talked about this before, about schools releasing identifying information about individual students and how that's, I came here and talked about how I'm getting calls from the military.
Yes.
Well,
it's got that.
So this is a related kind of thing, but what they are protesting and what they're concerned about is the state education department creating this program. Let's find the actual name, Shared Learning Collaborative,
okay.
where information on students enrolled in the state of New York will be shared with a larger for-profit enterprises. This is part of a Gates project related to Rupert Murdoch's program. This is something that could heat up.
Well, what kind of information are they sharing?
It's their personal identifying information, like their name, age, address, those kinds of things.
I thought it was grades and interest.
Some of those things, yeah.
But that can be done blind. You don't need to identify the child and the child's address?
Well, see, but it's for marketing purposes.
Oh,
it's
right.
more of
All
the,
right.
you know, reaching down even younger to market. It's
my
really,
goodness.
Yeah, I know. By the time these kids are my age,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they will have no, they have no privacy.
Yeah, they're marketed to right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the beginning.
That's right. So that's something to watch. I'm very interested. That combined with the fact that some of the privacy laws protecting students were relaxed a bit in January. So it's all kind of coming together. It's kind of, you know, it's I think it was Governor Cuomo when he talked about his education initiative and making the changes in the state of the state. He talked about the business of education,
mm-hmm.
and how that's growing and how it's becoming something to reckon with in terms of the actual process. And so this is all part of the same thing. It's kind of the big brother thing. And
yeah, that's that does kind of creep me out.
Yeah.
But parents today are faced with even more of that kind of stuff than I was,
yeah.
You know, when my children were going up. There were no computers.
That's right. If you didn't want your kids to see a commercial, you turned off TV.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. So the other thing is on the, you know, more acronym front, there are more and more of them every day. The latest one is the Strengthening Teacher and Leader Effectiveness Program, STLE. Program. This is all part of Race to the Top.
Okay.
One of these days I'll come on here and I'll just do acronyms. How's that? But no, this is kind of, this was news that came out last week. This is all related to school leadership and teacher effectiveness. There are these pockets of money available to qualifying districts to help them in supporting teachers and principals, and three districts in Columbia and Greene counties qualified: Hudson, Chatham, and Coxsackie Athens. The hitch is that none of those three have approved, and here comes another one, APPR. That's the teacher evaluation system.
Teacher evaluation thing.
Yeah, teacher evaluation thing. They do not have approved plans with the board of with the commissioner.
Uh-huh.
So that this money is sort of hanging out there, and nothing will happen until after they file their plans. So they've qualified, but there's no money yet. They have to file their teacher eval plan.
Yeah, those teacher, that was what we were talking about last week. The teacher evals. Is there any new news on that?
No, nothing beyond what's been happening. We'll see. The Hudson board meets next week, see if they have any news on their front. I think they've been going back and forth with the union, although last I heard, the union was basically starting from scratch.
Now, are there any districts that are actually seriously in risk of losing their funding?
Well,
for not having this thing ready?
Well, in theory, they all are, because if it isn't, January 13th is the drop-dead date. So if it's not in, and I believe it has to be approved
right.
Yeah, by January 13th, then they can lose buku bucks. Like, I think in Hudson, it's over $400,000 that they could lose.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have to work. They have to get their homework done. This is a drop dead date.
Man. That's kind of well,
daunting,
right? And I would think that you'd be doing much more to hurt the children than you would be anything else.
Yeah, well, that's where your focus is,
right.
And everything else is. I mean, January is the middle of the school year. What else is happening that is being sacrificed?
Okay, that is strange.
Yeah. So, and the final thing, in the ongoing sexual harassment drama at Hudson High School, the Register Star outed the complainant last week, and it is, Maria Suttmeyer, the superintendent.
Oh!
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Someone leaked an email to them. It was actually an email between Gavin's attorney, Mike Howard of Hudson.
That is strange.
Well, yeah.
Because she's the one who had to suspend him, correct?
Well, how he came to be suspended is kind of a question right now, because to my knowledge, the board did not, well, I can say this, the board did not vote in public on that suspension. That was something that I had an exchange with the board president on that very question. He claimed that they came out and voted to suspend him. I was there. He did not. The hand-carried motion that they voted on was to initiate the investigation and to refer it to Questar Bosis for investigation. And but the other piece is that usually in sexual harassment scenarios, the person being harassed is an underling of the harasser.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because it's all about intimidation,
all right,
and influence.
I don't know what the process is in public schools, but in the government sector, and from my management experience, there is a whole group of steps that have to be taken before the sexual harassment can be filed. And one of those steps is taking that person to the next level up on the chain of command.
Right, right. The whole idea is, you know, harassing in a manner that would intimidate, and she is his direct report, and
yeah,
he reports to her.
Right. So who does she take him to?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the thing. And Questar is involved in the investigation. So I don't know. Just it's something that seemed like it was an annoying diversion here has become even more intriguing.
Yeah.
Which is how soap operas work. But anyway. So I think that's it for now. Next meeting of the Hudson Board is October 22nd. They'll be at John L. Edwards for their once a year. They do Board Appreciation Week at JLE, and the PTA comes and bakes them tons of cookies.
Oh.
They get sugared up and do some business.
Well, speaking of schools, we're going to, first of all, thank you, Lynn Slonica, for
welcome.
Bringing us up to date. And before I go, it is, 7 minutes to 7 minutes to the hour, and we're going to close out with Nina Simone, since I didn't give the Nina Simone people their Nina Simone fix today. We're going to close out with Nina Simone, but before we do that, Lynn, I would like to show you how great the education system is. There is a future Nina Simone coming down the line. It has a fabulous voice, talent, and style. And she auditioned for me last night, and I played this earlier. And so this is to show you the work that's being done musically in the schools in Washington, D.C. Miss Diane Smith. There you go.
Brilliant. Yes.
That child, look out, Aretha Franklin, you
That's
don't
right.
stand a chance.
That's so great.
You're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. Philip is on your radio. He won't be on here for long. I'm going to get out of here. Do good things. Practice random acts of kindness and treat your neighbor the same way that you want your neighbor to treat you. Here's Nina Simone in It's a Pity.